This is the November 1 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A few other numbers. November beans this week at a high of 1301 and a quarter. Their low 1265. Settlement price down 34 on the week at 1266. They were just 2 1/4 higher, lower. 2 1/2 lower, rather, for the month. November of next year at 1145 and 3/4. We're down 19 and a quarter on the week, up 3 1/4 on the month. December wheat at 667 and 3/4, down 23, down 11 or for the month. And July wheat at 684 and 3/4, off 16 and 3/4 for the week, and up 1 1/4 for the month. Live cattle futures finished down 90 cents in the lead option. Feeder cattle were down 315, and the December lean hogs were off 207.5. Our panelists with us today, Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois, Aaron Curtis from Midco Commodities in Bloomington, and Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. From Eddyville, Iowa, Ray Jenkins is at the Cargill Corn Milling Plant. Ray, why don't you remind us to begin with exactly where Eddyville might be located?
Good afternoon. Eddyville's 75 miles southeast of Des Moines, right along the Des Moines River.
Yeah. What'd you make? It was a pretty interesting conversation in the first half of the program. What do you think of the cash grain market?
Well, here we are staring at close to a 14 billion bushel corn crop, and we're posted at 20 over, and still got some harvest to go, but it's been kind of a scramble to buy corn, so a pretty unusual situation, as many of the other ones mentioned.
Can you talk a little bit about the dynamics that goes into that, Ray, and just exactly what the producer's thinking at this point, and what's making it so hard for you to kind of source corn at this point?
Well, it's been a struggle all year long to get the producer engaged in forward contracting, put options, whatever form of risk management. After the last 2 or 3 years where we had these big summer rallies, and of course, we're in a unique time in agriculture economically, and a lot of people, I guess, are in a position that they can postpone making decisions, at least for a while, if they want to, and we just see a lot of that happening.
Matt?
Yeah, Ray, I know that the yields in your area maybe are a little bit different than what some of us are talking about. How do you think that has impacted these guys as well, first of all? And second of all, I talk to my producers quite a bit about, learning from 1 year to the next. What do you think the best thing some of these guys can maybe take away from this, the ones that have been really hesitant to go ahead and hedge? How are you going to maybe try to help them in that, thought process?
Well, first off, we're seeing better corn yields than were projected and expected 6 or 8 weeks ago. And South Central, Southeast Iowa, where we are located, has had a series of far subpar crops 4 out of the last 5 years. So folks are dealing with the first really good crop for quite some time here. The thing that I see with a lot of farmers that have got kind of whipsawed back and forth here in the last 4 or 5, 6 years, folks that are very consistent in their marketing plans. I see people that can forward contract every year and stay with that, and it works out for them. I also see people that don't sell a bushel of corn or consider pricing it till it's been in the bin for a while. But when people kind of start this back and forth thing, and we saw a lot of that evidence this year. A year ago in 2012, people had short crops. A lot of people had to buy out of contracts. Didn't want that to happen again, and now they're facing a different situation.
Dan?
Yeah. Are you anticipating that you're going to see a big pickup of country movement here during the month of December and January, or are you still thinking you're going to have to stay pretty strong on the basis to pull some inventory into the plant?
Well, I think it's no secret that the country elevator system as well as the processor is pretty short-bought, didn't get a lot of grain forward contracted into the system. We traditionally have a hard spot between the middle of November, whenever our southern Iowa harvest is done in the first of the year. And I think that hard spot's going to be just as big or bigger this year. I think once we get to the first of the year, there will be a little more balance. There will be more people interested in marketing and willing to discuss that. Today, we have a lot of people putting corn on basis contracts to take advantage of the situation. They're coring bins that they normally wouldn't do till 30 or 60 days from now, and they're writing a massive amount of deferred payment contracts.
How has on-farm storage in your area changed over the last 5 years, and does it make much of a difference to how corn you think will come into the plant this particular year?
Well, Iowa has been on a multi-year bin building frenzy, it seems like. It wasn't that many years ago that if you were south of Interstate 80, that it was rare to find a 100,000 bushel grain bin on a farm. And I can drive around the countryside and see lots of them and bins that are even bigger. So the farmers added a lot of space. He understands that we've got this tremendous processing and feed demand in this state that requires a 12-month supply of corn to feed it every year, and I think it makes them space their sales out a little bit more.
Does it make it easier on you so that you only have to call one or two clients in order to procure enough to run a week or a day or whatever that might be?
Well, place uses 7.5 million bushels of corn a month, so unfortunately one or two people really can't get the job done for us. Some days you wish it was like that, but you know, it's just made the job more challenging here. The elevator system has added space, the farmers added space. You know, we like it that there's more corn supply within 50, 60, 75 miles of here, but you still have to get them to sell.
Ray, what do you think, just kind of putting you on the spot a little bit here, but what do you think the harvested acres number in Iowa is going to say next Friday?
Oh, I think we've got a little rearranging to do here with the prevented planting. I made several trips into northern Iowa, and I guess my bias is that the prevented planting acres here in Iowa, probably 800,000 is going to catch that.
Yeah, Ray, whenever you look at the way this year's kind of played out, I know a lot of guys have been talking about decisions right now that they're making for 14. And, you know, earlier on I heard a lot of guys saying maybe they might be having a tendency for more beans, you know, and then, you know, a little bit of back and forth. What do you feel in that area guys are talking about? Do you think there's any switching around going on, or and what maybe are guys doing pricing-wise? Is anybody thinking about the fact that maybe they need to be doing anything, whether it be corn or beans?
Well, we have various parts of the state that have differing ratios of corn to soybean yields. Down here in south-central, southeast Iowa, you run into some areas where the ratio is 3 to 3.5 to 1. But then you get up into central and north central Iowa, and it seems to be just as easy or easier to grow 200 bushel corn as it is to grow 48, 50 bushel beans. And in those areas, I think it's difficult or going to be more difficult to get them to switch to a lot of soybeans. Now, the thing that's going on here this year is that this is a lot like 2003 when we had a big aphid problem out here, and everybody all fall long told me they weren't ever going to grow soybeans again. And you feel a little bit of this mentality about we're not going to grow as much corn, but I think we just need to work through time and see if we can build this demand base a little bit and get these folks more comfortable with growing their typical corn acres.
Ray, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Ray Jenkins is with the Cargill Corn Milling Plant. That's in Eddyville, Iowa, on the phone line with us from Mandeville, Louisiana. As Dan Zwicker, a final word from you, please.
just be safe here as everything gets wrapped up, and start taking a look at 2014 type prices and see how all that works in your cash flow projections.
Matt Bennett?
Yeah, I'd agree with Dan. I definitely want guys to, as they're making decisions for where they're going to put fertilizer and where they're going to plant corn and beans, think about what your profitability levels will be and maybe do a little something with them.
And Aaron Curtis.
Don't fall asleep on what basis and spreads are trying to tell you here, both on corn and soybeans. So just be mindful of that as you're making some of your marketing decisions.
All right, thanks, of course, to Aaron Curtis. He's with Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois. Matt Bennett from Total Grain Marketing from Windsor. And Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. That wraps up this November 1st edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.